I do not subscribe to organized religion because I grew up in that environment, because I grew up, I think, seeing a lot of women, their wings get clipped by their beliefs, you know, by believing that they were supposed to be lesser, by believing that their natural instincts to rebel and be themselves was a negative thing to pray away, by seeing them lower themselves from men who were so much lower than they were, you know. So to me, I had grown up seeing the women be, you know, my mind rightfully saw those things, and I never let my mind be molded into seeing them, seeing it in a different way as the world would want me to see it, you know. If you tell me that a man is supposed to be greater than me, then why isn't he?
Hey lovelies, welcome back to We Are Child Free, a podcast that celebrates child-free lives, shares our stories, and uplifts our voices. I'm Zoe Noble, and today I'm speaking with Doreen Caven, co-founder of the feminist wellness space, The Girls Like Me. Doreen was raised in a Catholic household in Nigeria, and she was a baby feminist even before she knew what the F word meant. At an early age, she saw the role she was expected to fill as a wife, a mother, submissive to men, and she wasn't having any of it. Doreen and her sister Joan, also child-free, now live in Los Angeles and run The Girls Like Me, a wonderful platform which amplifies the voices of African women who are too often left out of the narrative around feminism and female empowerment. Doreen is trying to worry less about offending people, and she definitely didn't hold anything back when we spoke. She told me how women have been expected to suffer in silence and sacrifice themselves ever since Eve ate the apple, how opting out of that role helps explain the falling birth rate in the US, and even opened up about the difficult conversations she had with her religious parents about her choice not to have children. Get ready to feel empowered. Here's Doreen Caven.
It was just a thought I didn't know I could have. It didn't come to me when I was younger. It didn't come to me, you know, even in my early 20s, right now in my mid-30s. It came to me just, I guess, at the time I realized that I didn't have that, you know, ticking time clock feeling that my friends had. Like, I would see my friends, you know, plan your lives according to the prospect of having kids or stop certain things they were trying to do because of that. You know, they would say things like, you know, I should be, you know, I need to not maybe pursue this path because, you know, I have to think about this time when I have to have kids. And I would be like, really? You're going to pause? And, you know, it just didn't, those kind of things just didn't occur to me, you know? And of course, I'm sure like everyone who feels, who is in this space or who wants to be child-free has felt this, you know, you feel different, you feel strange, you feel like a weirdo, you know? And I was blessed enough to have a sister who, like my younger sister, who I founded TGLM with, you know, to who I could relate to about the way I felt. So I would have my real conversations with her. And then with my friends, I would have like the, you know, the typical conversations with them, just because I didn't know if I could bring, you know, how they would react really to who I really was, or, you know, what I really wanted for myself. So I would say the time I knew for sure that I wanted to be child-free was when I was, I had fibroids, and it was a lot. I had a lot of fibroids. You know, the average size of the uterus is, I bet they say like 6 centimeters or something like that. But mine was like 20 because of how much fibroids were in my uterus. But anyway, when I went to see the doctor, they spoke about, you know, fertility and the prospect of how easy it would be for me being that I had fibroids. You know, at the time when he was talking, I knew it was he was saying it in a very, like, you know, you may struggle with fertility, you may have to do IVF, you may have to do all these kind of things, you know, and I could feel like the pity in the room, you know, like, oh, yeah. Everybody, like, oh, and in my mind, I was just like, just get this fibroids out. I don't really, that part just, doesn't even,
just that's get not him my, out.
Just get him out. Like, you know, and so after I had the surgery, I just felt so free, so wonderful.
Yeah.
I would have to say that during the time I had the fibroids, I also noticed my reaction to people, because everybody thought I was pregnant. That was how bad it was. I had a very inflamed stomach. So I would have like moments where, you know, people would send me congratulations randomly. Like, oh my God, congratulations. Seriously? I'm like, nope, I just have fibroids. So I went through a whole year of that, right? Before I took them out. So once I took them out and I didn't have them in me anymore and I looked like myself again, I was just like, I don't ever want to experience that ever again. Like, you know, the reaction I had to even people telling me that I was pregnant, I mean, I'm just going to be honest here. It just felt very violating, obviously, because, you know,
yes.
First of all, in general, no one is supposed to comment on anyone's body like that anyway.
No.
But, you know, I felt so free after I took them out. And, you know, I went to see my doctor again and be like, oh, you know, you could, you know, do IVF and you'd be able to have kids and everything. And I still, in my mind, was like, you know, everyone around me, my mom, my aunties, my siblings, they were like, oh, this is the best time. Now that you have them out, you can start trying to have a kid, you know, and stuff like that. And I was like, I was basically pregnant with fibroids like a year ago. Do you really think I want to just go and fill my stomach up with something again? Like, you know, I have no interest in that, you know? And then it just struck me that, you know, my reaction was very different from the average reaction, because I had had a friend go through that same process where she took her fibroids out. And then the next second, she and her partner just started trying immediately to make sure they could have a kid within that time. Because the thing about fibroids, from what most people say, is that it always comes back. So, you know, you have this little space where you're like, oh, you know, you have this little space, go for it, you know. And for me, I was like, nothing is coming inside here ever again. Like, I'm going to do everything I can to never have that experience. So it got me thinking about how I've always had a fear of like pregnancy just in general. I don't know. I have just never wanted to be pregnant, you know, and, you know, it's a thing that I had known, you know, but never, I mean, I had spoken about it. Maybe I'll say my fears and everyone would just laugh it up like, you know, it's okay. But I was like, I had never imagined myself pregnant. I had never oohed and aahed about it. I'd never, nothing. Like, you know, I just had no connection to it. You know, despite the fact that I actually do love kids, I have a bunch of, I have four sisters, actually. We're six. Four sisters and a brother. And, you know, aside from my younger sister, everyone else has kids. So I have a lot of nephews and nieces that I love very much, you know. But just the urge to mother or carry myself, just, you know, it was at that moment that I just realized, wow, I just don't have this desire. I don't have this rush. I don't have this panic. I don't have any of it. And why would I, you know, force myself to have these things if they don't come, they're not coming naturally to me?
Yeah, the doctors, when you kind of go into, you know, health issues as a woman, and it's very clear that there is a bias with many, many doctors that they just assume you'll want children. I mean, I also had a fibroid, and I know what you meant by when it got out, it was the freedom. Going to doctors and you expect, you know, support and them to look out for your best interests, but there's clearly a bias with many where the priority is to make sure that you have the ability to have kids, and, you know, we're going to do this for you. We're going to, and it's like, just listen to me. I want to live my life, you know, without this. And please don't just assume that we're all the same. I mean, you know, so your doctor, when you kind of, did you then have to tell the doctor, you know, no, I don't want to do anything. I don't want to do any kind of treatment.
Exactly. I had to tell the doctor, you know, and I knew I seemed very strange. It was like ringing silence in the room when I was like, I don't even want to think about that part. Like, let's just focus on now getting this out of me and me being safe and me being fine. I'm not thinking about any future to preserve whatever strands of uterus left. I just don't even, like, I would say I just didn't even care, you know, and it really made me realize, because at the same time, I had a friend who had gone through the exact same thing, who had been so particular about that part. you know, this thing, you shouldn't force it. You know, you shouldn't force it, and it's best to really sit with yourself and ask yourself, why? Why do I feel this way about these things? And accept that I do feel this way, and not see it as anything negative, but just see it as who I am.
Mm.
You know, so that's how I came to the conclusion that, yes, I want to be child-free. Another way, to be honest, is my partner, actually, from the minute I met him, has always wanted to be child-free. It's actually one of the reasons why I'm with him, like a huge reason, you know, because I had met a lot of, you know, I dated a lot of guys who wanted to have kids, but then it's like, this one didn't want to have it. And this is the one I was like, oh, you know what? I think I could do long-term with you, because, you know, I knew that pregnancy wouldn't come up. It was like, he literally was like, I don't want kids, but if you really want them, you know,
okay,
you know, then fine. We can, you know, go on that journey. So, you know, I coming to the conclusion, you know, because at the time I had said to, you know, I'm not sure myself. However, you know, just based on my conditioning, just based on, you know, the things I thought at the time I was supposed to do or supposed to think I should want, I had still not come to this, like, this 100% conclusion until I had my fibroid removal surgery. So right. At this time, we both, you know, had the conversation and, you know, we're like, yeah, this is what it is. And if there ever is a time that the need does arise, we always have the option, hopefully, to adopt, because there are so many children who are out there who need help, or foster, or anything.
Yeah.
But for now, as I'm sitting here, I have just no desire. I'm so happy to be child-free. It's just, to me, the most, like, exhilarating feeling, just knowing that I have this choice. And, you know, again, I find it just so important to put as many stories out there for women to know that it's a question that they can answer. You know, it's not an automatic or inevitable thing. It's something you can actually choose and select for yourself.
So with a partner who also has chosen to be child-free, have you noticed the differences between how men and women are treated with this decision?
Of course, yes. I mean, his parents are amazing. They're just really lovely, really kind people. But I have actually wondered how they would have dealt with his decision to be child-free if he was a girl, if he was a woman, right? I have wondered, because they are so accepting of it. But then again, you know, I'm like, you're a dude. So that's probably why you're not even being pressured to do, you know, you say you want to be child-free and everyone just kind of nods like, okay, that's fine, you know? But if it's me, it's more of a gasp, you know, and I have to go into this long explanation. Of course, by the time I'm done explaining, everyone understands. But, you know, people are unable to first, like, oh, it's like, seems like such a shocking thing. And I'm like, is it really that shocking? You know, so for women, obviously, it's completely different. You know, they think we are born to be mothers. That's our how we even reach our pinnacle of womanhood. It's that's the idea of us, you know, and to even, you know, teach people that we are a variety, like, you know, in general, as people, we are different kinds of people. And, you know, no one can understand that. They have an idea of what a woman is. And, you know, if she veers left or she is anything different, then she's unnatural. You know, that word comes up quite a lot.
Yeah, that really frustrates me, the way that we treat women who have made this decision as if they are broken, as if there's something actually wrong with them. And it angers me, because it clearly, you know, society has a lot of myths around child-free women. They think we are selfish. They think we are, you know, cold. We hate kids. We all of these things. And this is so important to me to get across, that we just need to embrace, like you said, like the diversity in us, in our stories. Yes, we have chosen to be child-free, but there is the huge gamut of different experiences, different reasons, different people in this whole movement. And let's stop just, you know, throwing everyone into one group. And this can be mothers as well. This can be child-free. You know, we just need to stop, like, assuming that women are just one version of themselves. You know, it's ridiculous.
people immediately have an idea of you when you say that you're child free.
Mm.
So I actually experienced that recently, like maybe 2 weekends ago. I kind of, you know, was with a bunch of my friends and I just decided to say it openly. Actually, I think just inspired again to be more open about being child free to my friends. You know, I'm doing that now.
Yeah.
So I'm, you know, I mentioned it to like, you know, a group of girls. Oh, everyone gasped. Then, you know, later on, you know, my friend sends like this meme of like, of how babies are like problematic. It was like a funny thing, you know, it's just like they poop too much, the blah, blah, blah. And she was like, Dorian, you will love this. And I'm like, why would I love it? Like, I don't have an issue. Like, you know, she just immediately assumed that I'd be one of the people who, you know, be laughing at babies being problematic or something. And I'm like, I love kids. I don't have any, you know, she just didn't understand that you can love kids. You cannot find them problematic. You can just be like, okay, they're little humans being raised right now. At one point, they'll be adults. That's just their journey in life. She just couldn't get that I would still be the person she's always known. Suddenly, because I said I was child free, like, you know,
yeah.
And it's kind of weird because in my opinion, sometimes I think, and this is, I feel maybe, you know, maybe in my experience, I feel like child free people are more understanding of children sometimes than people who think that children are their destiny, because we are able to ask the question, do we want kids? You know, so when you're able to ask yourself, do you want kids, you're able to understand that a kid standalone is like a human, right? People see children as extensions of themselves all the time. And so like you are actually doing more philosophy when you question the idea of even bringing one into the world, because you're like, what would that child deal with here? Does a child deserve to be in this kind of world where so many terrible things keep happening? You know, a lot of people just go in there just think, a lot of people have children just thinking only about themselves, how their legacy will be continued, how this child is going to achieve dreams that they never achieved, you know.
Yeah.
They never actually think about their children. They're mostly thinking about themselves, you know. And so I feel like sometimes the best thing a lot of people would do is really sit down and think about wanting if they should have kids or not, because then they will consider that child as a human who deserves a good life if they come here, and they will stop expecting children to be grateful for being brought into a world they didn't ask to be brought into.
Exactly. Gosh, yes. We just need to think a little bit more, please.
Just think.
Yeah. So then you mentioned your partner's family. How have your family taken to this decision?
My mom, you know, thankfully, again, like I said, we're 6 kids. I happen to be the 5th.
Right.
And so she has a bunch of grandchildren already. So obviously okay. She still wants one, but she has been sated by having so many that I feel like I could, you know, sneak through the, I could speak to her about being child-free without her completely losing her shit. She does want kids, but she has, you know, been able to accept it. Mostly because I'm Doreen, meaning that I have always been extremely opinionated. I've always been extremely sure of what I wanted and said it. And so they know that if I say something strongly, I'm going to do that thing, right? And so, you know, nobody even wants to deal with that. You know, so I had to walk, I had to fight for my right growing up. So, you know, I have this family that kind of understands that. Also, you know, having the fibroids issue, I won't lie, it was a little bit of a nice cover for me, because once I just say the fertility stuff, my mom's like, oh, no, okay. She like would rather that, you know, she just feels happy, you know, like, you know, so I kind of over exaggerate that a little bit, and I hope she never listens to this podcast. I kind of over exaggerate that because she's a Nigerian woman about to be 70 this year. She needs the excuse. She needs something to hold on to. I don't know if she can accept completely, you know, that my own philosophy of having children, because to her, as a Catholic woman, as a Catholic African woman to be exact, you know, family and having children, as you can see, she had 6, you know, it's a huge thing of, you know, of even like serving the Lord and stuff like that, you know, so it's like important to her. So, you know, once I bring up, you know, that, remember this fibroids thing? You want me to be that miserable woman like that's trying her best to have children and she's all broken down and stuff. Like, I don't want to be her. So she doesn't want me to be her either. She's like, okay, if you're happy this way, you know, not to say that women who are trying and are miserable, but I just sometimes 100% fear that image. Sometimes I fear that image of feeling like you're not enough because you didn't have children. I don't like what it does to women generally. I don't like seeing it, even though I know and understand that I probably don't feel what they feel, you know, because I don't have that desire to have children. So I don't know what it feels like to put your body through so much, like, I guess, injections and stuff like that in order to have a child. Like, I don't know what it feels like to be driven by that desire. But every time I see that, I feel so sad. Yeah. I feel so sad because it really, really does break women down.
Oh gosh, yeah, that process, it looks brutal. And I mean, you don't know. You don't know what the results will be. It's expensive. In some countries, I think in the UK, you can get a certain amount of treatment on the NHS, but I imagine in the US, it must be very expensive.
It's extremely expensive and it's extremely hard for your body. Yeah. I mean, your body is put through hell.
Yeah.
You know, my prayer always for women who want to have children is that I hope they are able to have their children, you know, because it's just, it really, 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 really mentally messes with them.
Oh gosh. I mean, I think that's it. I hope that we can empower women to, they make the choice. And if that is what they want, I'm like you, I hope they get it. You know, everyone should have happiness in their life. And if that's where they see it, then I really do hope that they can find that. But yeah, it just looks like a very traumatic kind of experience for many. So I think when you decide to be child-free and when women, they have, you know, fertility problems and then they come out the other side, and if it's not possible for them, there is a power in saying, okay, I'm embracing being child-free now. I am, you know, I'm going to, you know, live my best child-free life. And I think if we can show women that you can live a really happy and fulfilling life without children, that maybe we can, you know, help the women who maybe have wanted it so badly in their lives see that, you know, it's okay. We're out there, we're living our lives. We are, you know, doing amazing things. So, you know, hope is not all lost if you can't have children.
It's detaching from that idea that your womanhood is incomplete without a child, you know, and it's understanding that you're already a full human as you are. And yes, a child would be a great addition if that's what you want for yourself. However, without it, you're still going to be you, you know, and there's still many ways to nurture. There's still many ways to mother, and there's still many ways to bring value into the life of someone else, you know. And, you know, my own personal philosophy, like we negate the practice of even raising ourselves because we're so focused that on the idea that we're supposed to raise someone else. We have yet to finish even knowing who we are. We have yet to finish even understanding why we do the things we do, why we think the way we do, you know? And we are so quick to want to rush and start trying to mold and control someone else. And then we wonder why there's so many children or adults with childhood trauma. So many children who are confused, unable to express themselves well because they are raised by people who never even finished raising themselves.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I mean, we want the people who really, really want this in their lives and are really well equipped to do it, you know, and that means everything, mentally, everything. You have to be, you know, you have to really, really want this. And if we try and push women who maybe don't want this, maybe it's not suited to them. You know, why on earth would we push those women into doing this? The pressure, putting so much pressure on them. I mean, we're going to get unhappy women, unhappy children, and the cycle just continues. So, I mean, tell me then, living in, you know, Nigeria, obviously, what was it like growing up there?
It was community. It was a lot of community, which meant seeing, I guess, the dynamics of of patriarchy, like, really strongly. So I grew up in a privileged African family. My dad was successful. My mom was successful. And, you know, they helped a lot of their younger siblings and their cousins and, you know, relatives. You know, at some point in my house, we lived in a house in Lagos. We lived in Lagos, which is like the city, a very big city. And we were surrounded by our relatives a lot. And so we were raised by a community of women. And so for me growing up, I loved the women I was raised by. I was raised, my mom and her sisters were there. My dad's sisters were there. And we lived in a big house. And I think growing up, I would see the change from them being happy, you know, playful women, young women, to becoming overburdened, stressed, and extremely just a broken version of themselves when they would get married. So the thing that I knew when I was younger was that I was never going to get married.
Right.
That's what I would say to myself, that if anything could change these women to this other thing, I don't see what is so great about it. Because to me, like, I could never understand the hype surrounding why, you know, men were given so many more opportunities, so much more attention, so much more validation, so much more, you know, freedom.
Yeah.
You know, and so that was my complete struggle. I think growing up as a young Nigerian girl, I just didn't get it, you know, and I was angry. I was angry with it. Now, thankfully, my mom happened to be a woman who was very progressive. And so she, like I said, we had five girls and one boy. She raised all of us the same, which was great. So inside my house, we had equality. There was balance and equality. Even though she was in a more patriarchal relationship with my dad, she didn't transfer that to us, because she could have done that. She could have had like some form of hierarchy where my brother would be given so many more, you know, things than us. But she didn't do that. She just kind of treated us all the same and allowed us all to be ourselves, you know. So she didn't say, you're women, you guys need to wake up in the morning and do this while your brother is lying down on the bed, you know, sleeping. But I did see that dynamic in a lot of my friends' homes, where they were the ones who would, you know, the girls would wake up and clean while the boys are playing video games and stuff like that. So I, you know, what I would say is that growing up in Nigeria, I just saw, obviously, the same old thing happening here, even in the United States, where women were just overburdened and were expected to do most of the domestic work, while the men, you know, would be lauded for simply going to work. The same place that women are also going. Women were also working while also doing domestic work, and it all just seemed very unbalanced, and it all seemed very unfair. And it would be so infuriating to me as well that despite the amount of work that women would do to have kids, take care of the kids, and all that, the kids would still be named after their father. And so, like, all those things, just nothing made sense to me.
Yeah.
You know, so nothing made sense to me at all. And, you know, I rebelled very strongly, you know, against anything typical. I would do the opposite of what was expected, because I wanted it to be clear that, you know, even in the small space I had, you know, I occupied at the time in my home with my aunties and my uncles, I wanted them to know that girls don't have to act the way you think they should act. Girls can be who they want to be. You know, and they would tell me all the time, the biggest stress was, you know, Doreen, nobody will marry you. Nobody will want to marry. And I'm like, I hope so.
You're like, yes, that's good, good.
That's what I'm going for right now.
That's my dream. Yay.
Do you understand? Like, it's not, you know, please, like, look at, you know, and at weddings of my aunties, I used to cry so much. I don't think I was crying because I was happy for them, but I was crying because I was sad. I was what's going to happen to this lady? This sweet, happy woman is about to turn into some overburdened woman. And in Nigeria, the women get sometimes so overburdened that they would look at least 10 years older than their husbands. Like, they would look physically look older, you know, because they're just going through so much work. And you know, like I said, if you are privileged enough to grow up in a nice environment in Lagos, Nigeria, yeah, you do have access to childcare. Like you can have nannies. We grew up with nannies and stuff like that. So it was easier for my mom.
Right.
But on a general scale, for a lot more women, that's not how it is. For a lot more women, they're waking up, going to work, and then coming home and still working at home while their husband comes home from work, sits down, is served his food like a king, and goes to bed.
Yeah.
You know? So it's a very, some, it's an interesting culture in that, you know, you can see progressiveness, but in many ways it's still very traditional.
Yeah.
So, you know, for me, I was like, you know what, any of these things, these expectations, I have no desire for any of them. You know, I would say it all the time, I'm not going to marry a Nigerian. I'm never going to, like, I don't want anyone to just look at me and assume things about me without even getting to know who I am.
No.
Know? Because I'm a woman. Like, you know,
yeah,
like, what?
Yeah, no, I'll pass.
Blew my mind. No, thank you.
Yeah, right? So, I mean, what about then the aspect of religion? Because, so both your parents are Catholic.
Catholics,
I mean, obviously,
yes.
it's such a, yeah, religion plays such a, an integral
huge
part in patriarchy. Mm-hmm. I mean, the roles are so defined. Men are at the top, women are at the bottom.
Women at the bottom. We're here to serve, and we're the helpmeets. That's what they call us, the helpmeets, who were created from the rib of a man.
Yeah. Oh, great. Sweet. Oh, lovely. Brilliant.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So yes, of course, you know, I'm not religious anymore. I'm spiritual. I believe in the universe and all those type of things. And,
right,
in, you know, I believe in, like, community and kindness and love and things like that. But I do not subscribe to organized religion.
Yeah.
Because I grew up in that environment. Because I grew up, I think, seeing a lot of women get clipped. Their wings get clipped by their beliefs. You know, by believing that they were supposed to be lesser, by believing that their natural instinct to rebel and be themselves was a negative thing to pray away, by seeing them lower themselves from men who were so much lower than they were.
Yeah.
You know, so to me, I had grown up seeing the women be, you know, my mind rightfully saw those things, and I never let my mind be molded into seeing it in a different way as the world would want me to see it. You know,
yeah.
If you tell me that a man is supposed to be greater than me, then why isn't he?
Yeah.
So, like, I would look at that. I remember going, I really, really was a very, I thought a lot as a child. And I remember saying, okay, if men are so great, how come I'm, like, first in the class? How come I'm, you know, I'm like, how come I'm all these things?
Yeah.
You know, so, and so am I supposed to just force myself to believe these things when it's obviously not true? You know, I'm not saying that individually we can all be great, but I'm saying the idea is so solid in Nigeria that men are this and women are just beneath them. Men are the heads, your head, you know. And I actually remember my sister and I will never forget, we're like 8 years old, we're sitting down, you know, practicing our signature for when we will be stars and we'll be autographing. And I remember, like, saying, I can't believe I'm sitting here, like, practicing my autograph, and one day I'm going to have to change my name to somebody else's name. And I was so angry.
Yeah.
I was so frustrated about that. It just never dawned on me at that age that I didn't have to do any of that. Like, it's, I can keep my name if I want. You know, at the time, I was so roped into this world that was going to be my place as a secondary citizen of it. Like, and I remember being just so frustrated about it. And it's everywhere. I remember in schools, we would play these games called, like, when will you marry? That was the name of the game. And they'll be like, you know, where will you have your baby?
What's,
you know, like, we would just, you know, everything was just based around eventually being a wife and eventually just being a mom. That's just, you know, the dream, you know. And I just always never go with that idea. I never dreamt of my wedding. It just wasn't the things I wanted. What I wanted was to be rich.
Yeah. When I was a kid. Who doesn't?
That's all I wanted. I wanted to be successful. I wanted to, that's all I wanted.
Yeah. I mean, I would rather have the money that people spend on a wedding. I'd rather travel with that. I always was like, oh my gosh, it seems like such a waste.
And I know that I actually edit myself a lot because I'm a person who loves when people are happy. So I'm a person who my big struggle right now, which I'm learning to do even right now as we speak, is learning how to be okay with offending people.
Yeah.
Because, to be myself, I have to be myself, and sometimes I try to, like I said earlier, sometimes with some friends, I wouldn't show them or tell them everything about me or what I think because I know it's sometimes processed as too much or too different or too, and I've noticed that people take differences in a defensive or combative way. I can tell you, I'm a different person. I don't like this, and it pisses them off somehow. And so I noticed that, and I kind of don't want to piss them off. So I just give them maybe the mid-level version of me, but I'm now really trying, the pandemic really pushed me to say, Doreen, just burst out and be yourself, be open, and just if you offend people in the process, so be it.
Yes.
Because I literally feel like it's so much more important to share the things that I am and be who I am so that other people can feel the freedom and feel the joy that I'm feeling from living my life my own way. Because I do not think that I don't think this society is prepared for unapologetic joy of a child-free person. I think people will take it in an offensive way a little bit, like we are criticizing their decision.
Mm.
And it's like, I'm not criticizing your decision. To me, like I said, I am extremely happy for anyone who wants to be a mom. Like, I am genuinely a big supporter of people being happy.
Yeah.
I'm so happy for them, so yes. You have to learn the generosity and of being able to allow people to be happy, to be child free without having to darken it by your idea that, in the future, we'll be so sad when nobody can take care of us. In the future, we will be so blah, blah. I'm like, we don't even know what the future is. And you don't either, And I will say, I didn't speak about when I told my dad I was child free, but I'll talk about it now. I did, he was around, he lives in Nigeria. My mom lives in America. So he came here for a routine doctor checkup. And I went to visit him. He was staying at my sister's place in Michigan. And while we were there, it was my younger sister and I, he would pray for us because he's, very religious. And he would pray for us and he would pray, God, please provide Doreen with the fruit of the womb. And God, please let Joan find a husband. And, the prayers came every night. And I swear I'll be infuriated at the end of the prayer. And I was trying to do the thing where I'm like, okay, my parents don't really have to know me.
Right.
They don't have to know who I am. So let me not, actually tell them who I am. But I was like, you know what? Maybe they need to know me.
Yeah.
So I was like.
I mean, you can't please everyone.
You can't. So I said, I'm going to have this conversation. I don't think any of my siblings know I had this conversation. But I told him, I was like, Dad, I need you to actually pray for what I want. If you want to pray for me, please pray for me that the ideas that I put out into the world have value and able to reach people. Pray for me that all the work I do actually pay off. Please don't pray for me to have kids. And please don't pray for Joan for things she doesn't even want either, And he was like, what do you mean? You don't want to have children? And I was like, no, I do not. I do not want to have children. And he was like, he got so incensed and was like, raging because to him, he's like, a woman without a child, that is not natural. That is not natural at all. And I'm like, well, maybe I'm unnatural then. I mean, what do you want me to say? This is something that I don't want. And he's like, when in the future, you don't know how it is when you be surrounded by, you know, your children and all these kind of things. And I'm like, I understand, but that doesn't have to be my future. I'm okay with that not being my future, you know, because let me tell you something. You cannot predict those things. We just came through a pandemic where so many people died alone in a hospital because they couldn't even be surrounded by their children. You understand what I'm saying? Like, life, you cannot predict the future. You cannot predict tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know anything. And so to live your life for this hope that one day in the future, your child will take care of you, it just doesn't make any sense to me, you know? Mm-mm. So like, you have to live for now, for what you want now. And I feel like people changing their lives and shifting their lives and restricting themselves to achieve this idea for public approval to get a certificate of completion by society or something. I don't know what it is that they want. You know, I've just never been able to wrap my mind around it, but it's a very common thing, you know? So my dad was really upset by it, but I was very happy. The next day he came and said, I understand. I will, you know, adjust myself accordingly. And I apologize. And so,
okay, that's good.
He prayed for me from then on for what I wanted. And that's what I want. I was like, put the energy towards the thing I want. Please.
I mean, that's it. It's like parents, it seems like sometimes they just don't listen to their children when they're saying, I would not be happy if I did this. Don't you want me to be happy? Isn't that what all parents want? Surely want children to be happy.
I literally have that speech with my mother all the time. Like, I literally do. I'm like, do you not see how happy I am? Do you not see my problem? Like, when I call you and I tell you what my problems are, do you not see that my problems are so there? In fact, I don't even call you about problems because I'm so in a happy space that I get to live the life I want.
Yes.
You know, I haven't, you know, coming to where I am right now in my life, I would say I've been living happier, so much happier, because this has been the only time in my life I've been able to be really free and not controlled by my parents. You know, we haven't talked about how I came to even opening Girls Like Me and my creative life journey and things like that.
Oh, we're going to get there.
Yeah. So speaking to my mom and like telling her, like, do you not see that I don't call you? I'm not sad. I'm not this. Like, do you not see, you know? And she understands now. She understands a lot now, you know?
That's good. I mean, that's all parents want, right? Just be happy, live your life. And I think a lot of it is, this conditioning that, you know, that generation, or especially coming from a country like Nigeria, the pressure, the, you know, the gender roles are set. And anyone who bucks against that, it's immediately, it's like, oh, they're just weird. They're not normal. This is not right. But exactly. I think the more we can put out our stories into the world and show people that this is a choice, that we are living our lives happy, fulfilled, I think people will start to accept this as a choice. Exactly. And that's what we need for, you know, people raised as girls, as you know, when they're growing up, we need them to know that there is a choice. This isn't just a given that you are on this planet just to fulfill, you know, this role that the patriarchy basically says that is
forced upon us.
Yeah, that's what it feels to me. That's what it feels like. And obviously, there are many women who are, you know, they have this innate desire to have a child. I completely, and like you said, I want them to go for it and live their life and be happy with that. But I also see how little support mothers can get, and how, you know, because we are still trying to get gender equality, you know, we can put ourselves into these positions where we don't get the support. We are doing the majority of the work. And men need to do better. They need to, you know, we are, like you and I, we're trying our best to make a change. But I also wish that, you know, men would be doing more as well.
I do kind of blame religion, I would say, just based on my own past, on why mothers are so unappreciated. When you create a story that says that women are meant to do this stuff, it doesn't allow for the sacrifice that women are making. We're not looking at motherhood as and women excelling at it and doing their best at it as something that is should be commended. We're looking at it as something that, duh, this is what you should have done. Anyway. Right. So while when men are excel at fatherhood or are even present or even do the bare minimum, do like just maybe 20% of what moms are doing, they're praised for it because they're not expected to do that, you know? And yeah. So there's a whole story of the reason why women labor during childbirth as being the curse of God for Eve eating the apple. Do you understand? Mm. So we look at that story as a reasoning for why women suffer during childbirth. That's in the right. Genesis. And I've always felt like that was the most cruelest thing ever. Mm. That women who are sacrificing their bodies and even their possible lives
yeah.
to bring humans into this world are not appreciated for it or even given the kind of glorification that they deserve for doing those kind of things. I'm saying that because this is true. They are treated like as if it's, you know, like the pain, nothing of what they go through is really looked at as commendable as much as it should be, because, you know, people are so quick to look at it as something that wasn't even a big deal. It's just what every woman does. And that's, it ties to the way we look at the Eve in the apple and her being cursed by God for it. So we don't, I think that was a very selfish situation where the people who wrote the Bible couldn't give women their flowers at that moment for childbirth. They just had to make it a negative thing so that we don't right. praise them for it. And so we can look at it, you know, we can put a negative slant on it rather than like give them, you know, more support and understand that is a big sacrifice that
yeah.
for that reason, they deserve even to be the ones who name children. They deserve to yeah. be the ones who, you know, so that's how I look at it. Like the religious way of thinking permeated the way we look at women. And because of that, women are not seen as people to commend. We're so busy focused on men and men and men and more men and men and men all the time. It's just ridiculous. And completely upside down.
Yeah.
You know, so that's just ridiculous to me.
I wonder whether, this came out last week in America, that the birth rate, I don't know if you read, you know, any articles about, I had someone ask me about this, you know, this is something that can be put to child-free women. You know, the birth rates are going down. In the US, there's this trend that less women are having kids. And, you know, someone asked me, you know, what are your thoughts on that? As if it was something that, I don't know, whether we should be to blame, ashamed, I don't know. But, you know, I would love your thoughts on, you know, this trend of women are choosing or opting out. In my head, it makes complete sense because I look at the world around, especially like you mentioned, the pandemic. We saw so many women leave the workforce because how could they manage looking after their children and working a job and looking after the house?
And these women were probably partnered too.
Oh yeah. You know, women, oh, absolutely. Exactly. It's fucking depressing. It's like women were hurt so badly in the pandemic and we just have swept it under the carpet and we're just moving on.
No, it's not a big deal that women live to people. It's not a big deal that women leave their jobs to care for kids. That's what they think women should do. Like I said, every sacrifice that women do is never seen as anything worthy because to them, we are like women represent servants,
yes.
service, and laborers, free laborers, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, and this does not even just only go for the woman who has the kids. It goes for the girl in the family, the daughter,
yeah.
who has to also become a second mother by default.
Yeah.
You know? So it's a really, 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 really insane thing that people are even surprised at the birth rates being low. Like,
I know.
You look at it; it's unequal. It's around the world in progressive countries, like so-called progressive countries, like the United States and other parts of Europe. It's always been unequal. The women have always been doing most of the unpaid labor, and it's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And until men decide honestly, that they are going to step up and do as much as women, it's always going to be that way. Or else women are just going to step back and choose not to have children. Women are going to just step back and choose to focus on themselves instead and live lives that are full without having to be burdened with doing twice as much work. You know, so I don't know why that's even a surprise to anyone.
No.
It's almost like the future, you
yes.
know?
I mean, I just wish, you know, instead of asking women, why aren't you having kids? I wish we'd be putting the pressure on, you know, the government, the policymakers. Why aren't you creating an environment that was
exactly
conducive for women to feel like they had the support, that they could have a child, that they can keep their career, that they, you know, they're not working themselves to the, you know, I see it from my friends and you know, anyone who's got a kid, I see, even like you said, in progressive countries or with progressive couples, say, you know, modern couples in my, you know, generation, like younger generations, I still see that the labor is divided so unequally. And it's frustrating. It's so frustrating. So I'm not surprised women are opting
I'm not
out.
Surprised. Yeah. But, you know, it's so interesting that there's a motherhood penalty too, where working mothers basically encounter disadvantages in pay because people believe that exactly they have kids, basically they're going to be consumed with their kids and they're not going to do as much work. And, you know, ironically, at the same time, fathers are paid more for that exact reason because they have families. Just even the assumption that mothers are this nurturing figures who should be at home, the wage gap exists. So it's a ridiculous, you know, situation.
Yeah.
And so I do not blame anyone who starts realizing the scam of it all. And so until society decides to implement the right things, and actually, as you said, governments create spaces where the child care is put into like their contracts, where they are able to find a way to take care of the kids and consider the fact that women are not automatic servants or automatic slaves. This does not just help women. It helps men. Men who are also married have kids, right? So why don't we do that? So it helps everyone, you know? But just the assumption that women are the caretakers is the reason why this is happening. You know, I remember seeing a thing about how much unpaid child labor costs.
Oh, really?
Like it was like a ridiculous.
Oh, I bet. I bet it's soul crushing. Yeah.
It's like billions, like of dollars that are billions basically spent that would be spent on labor if women were not, if women and girls were not at home doing the work for society.
Yeah. No wonder, you know, government, society, they want to keep women, you know, in this place.
Of course, it's
you know?
Free. Yeah.
Free labor.
It's free labor.
So then you have to tell me, Doreen, about the amazing project that you've created, The Girls Like Me. I want to know, you know, what brought you, well, tell me a bit about it and what brought you to create that.
Okay. So basically The Girls Like Me is a space for women. It's a wellness space. It's a humorous space. It's a learning space. So my sister and I wanted to create a space where we could just be free, say what we wanted and explore ideas that are unorthodox, that are not within what people expect women to feel or say.
Mm.
And as you know, I'm Nigerian and my country has a lot more conservative ideas around womanhood. And I grew up there and felt the restriction of it. And even moving here, I still felt restricted by it somewhat. And it took like some kind of mental unlearning to completely free myself, to live my life how I wanted to without feeling, you know, without feeling judged by even the conditioned thoughts I had taken away with me from childhood. So to release myself of those thoughts, to release myself of those ideas and to completely accept myself for who I was, it took a time for me to get there, even though in my own estimation and understanding from the time I was a kid, I was a feminist, you know, even though I didn't know what the word meant. So I decided that, you know, there was at the time that I created Girls Like Me, there seemed to be only one idea of a Nigerian woman. So, and it was, it was very vocal, this idea. It was very, you know, judgmental, anything that went against that. You know, I would have friends who were doing amazingly well, who were like, you know, doctors who would be like, I don't even know if I should celebrate my birthday anymore because there's no point. You know, everybody would be like, what am I celebrating? I'm 28 and I'm single. You know, I shouldn't even, you know, like that level of, you know, lessening. Yeah. Like, no, you can't even enjoy yourself anymore because you think that, oh, because there's no man beside you, your life is not, you know, people were legitimately depressed about it. And I know that it's not even just a Nigerian thing. This is just a thing. Yes. This is a thing. So, for me, I hated it so much. Yeah. I hated it so much. I hated that people's lives seemed like so linked to having a partner, being a mom, having a partner, being a mom. That's it, you know? And it's like you would see people that you admire and you love and who were happy, happy, happy people suddenly enter that cycle and start to even hate themselves. And like it didn't make any sense. You understand what I'm saying? So to me, I was like, there needs to be something that basically creates a criticism of that idea.
Yeah.
That says, you know, I love me. I love me alone. I love me if I'm partner. I love me if I'm just dating casual. I love me regardless.
Yeah.
You know, if you connect to what you're meant to do and connect to your purpose in life, whatever it may be, however huge, medium, or even mediocre, that's fine. It's just you are meant to, that your purpose in life is that. It's not to go be partnered immediately or go get, you know, children or go, like, it's not anything. It's just you, right? And so I just wanted to create a space where people were more focused on that, on the inward, so that they're not so absorbed and distracted by the outward. Because when you're distracted by the outward, you live for other people's approval, which means that you're never even questioning what's your allowing into your own life, you know. And so I thought it necessary, and my sister did as well, to just create a space where we were, you know, amplifying voices who said things that were within our own philosophy, and also putting out our own philosophy out there. So we're having discussions while it's even in a humorous way. And you know, you notice with our graphics, they're very bright, they're very puppy. You know, and that's just like a thing that we also do on purpose, actually, because, you know, it's like we're drawing you in into thinking, oh, this is just girl boss, you know, shy, blah, blah stuff. But it's really sometimes very heavy material. And we are trying to do that also, even a little ironically, because there's an idea of like things that are, you know, like pink or whatever. This is my own criticism. Sometimes I look at, I asked this question one time on my Twitter, what's your internalized misogyny? Mm. Every one of us has something, all right? My own something is that I'm very critical of the woman who is like obsessed with marriage, guy, like, you know, pink, you know, I'm this very girly, but so I wanted to criticize my own self by making my thing very girly too.
Right.
Because I don't say that there's even strength in that too. There's no, you know, there's nothing wrong with anything that any of us like as women. There's nothing to criticize. We're just our own selves. You know, when we look at another woman and say, oh, she's this kind of way, you're feeling superior, but that's your ego at that moment.
Mm.
And there must be some kind of inferiority if you can't allow another woman in front of you to be herself. Oh. Something in you is threatened. You know what I'm saying? So I've gotten to a place where I just embrace everybody's own individuality. In fact, I shine more when I see you being yourself, you know? And so that's the general purpose of the Girls Like Me. It's not about me. It's the Girls Like Me means the girl like you, the girl like me, the girl like her, the girl like she, the girl like everybody. Everybody's own version is there. So that's what it means.
Oh, it's such an amazing space. I mean, it's kind of radiates positivity, empowering women. And, you know, everything you're saying is just, it's so empowering for women to hear. And we need it. We need it. So I hope everyone who's listening goes and checks out your incredible project, The Girls Like Me, because, you know, you are doing amazing things. And it was such a wonderful time to talk to you. So thank you.
Thank you, Zoe, and I'm so appreciative of this space. I am looking forward to just continuing to listen to stories of women who are child-free like us.
So and
this is just everything. And congratulations, because this is a huge space, by the way.
Thank you.
You're going nuclear with this, period.
I mean, we just need to get ourselves out there, right? We just need to get the child-free women out
community.
There.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Like you said, community, it's so important. And this is one thing that, you know, child-free women that we when our friends have kids, we start to lose those relationships or they change.
Yes.
You know, they
become awkward.
Yeah. And we need to, you know, be able to maintain, you know, connections. And yes. This is what I'm realizing now, you know, with this project, just being able to know that you're not alone. There are thousands, millions of us out there. We just need to be able to connect to each other. And having this chance to connect with you, Doreen, was so incredible. And I'm so grateful for this project to be able to, you know, bring me to meet women like you, you know. It's amazing.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
We Are Child Free is hosted by me, Zoe Noble, and produced by James Glazebrook. If you liked this episode, please leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, as this really helps other people find us. Head to wearechildfree.com to read more stories from incredible child-free women and find out how to share your story with me. Speak soon, lovelies.